Okay, we're continuing in the Rambam, Hilchis Ovel, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Aleph, Chapter 13, Law 1. Now we're going to talk about the laws of comforting mourners. Aleph, Ketzad Menachmim Es Havelim, how do we give comfort to the mourners? The answer is, Achash Yekrevim Es Hameis, after you bury the dead person, Miskapsim Havelim, the mourners gather together, Va'omdim B'tzad Besak first, and they stand on the side of the cemetery. And all those who accompanied the dead to his final burial, omdim savivlam, they stand around them, shura lifnei shura, one row in front of another row, ve'ein shura psucha me'asor, and there's no row has less than 10 people in it, if you have those numbers. Ve'ein avelim in a minyan, we do not include an avel in the minyan of those rows. And since these rows are not a mitzvah, it's a minug, it was just a minug established to give credence to the comforting of the mourners, so you don't have to have the mourner being one of the 10. But certainly, if there's other aspects that would require a minyan, the oval could be part of the minyan. So it seems from this Rambam that their ideas of the rows was a little different than the way we have them. We'd have to know how that changed. And Rambam seems the mourners here, and there's a row of 10, and another row of 10, and another row of 10, and they're not necessarily walking in between the rows, and they're just giving them comforts, as we'll see as he continues in Halacha Beis. Havelim omdim li smol hamenachemim, the mourners stand to the left of the ones giving them comfort. V'kala menachemim boin etzel havelim, and all the ones that want to give them comfort, they come to the mourners, echad echad, one at a time, facing them. V'omrin lahem, and they say, a little bit different than what we say, but similar, tenu chamu min hashamayim. You should be comforted from heaven. V'acher kach, and after everybody has given that message, so if anything, it seems that it's like the comforters are coming to the mourners, as opposed to the way we do it, that the mourners are walking down the row. Could be the logistics are a lot different now than they were then. But so then after everyone gave them the words of comfort, the mourners go back to their home. And each and every day of the 7 days of mourning, people come to give them comfort, whether it's new people who hasn't been comforted them yet at all, they weren't there at the funeral or any other days of the Shiva, or whether they are not new faces, even people who came from days before. Anyone can take part in being these people who come to them. Gimel, ha'ovel meisei v'rosh. During these proceedings, the ovel sits at the head, as it were, in the front and center. Another unusual thing. The ones who give them comfort, they sit on the floor. Okay, again, something we don't do. Shenemar, as we see in the book of...
The mourners also.
Well, they can sit on something low or on the floor. V'yeshvu ito la'aretz, because the Pasuk says, by Eov, when Eov was mourning, his friends sat with him on the ground. So it seems with him, but they were on the ground. And that's in one girsa of one Gemara. However, other girsas in the Gemaras don't have that girsa. So, again, depends on what the way your liturgy has it. And comforters are not supposed to initiate any discussion until the mourner initiates it. Shenemar, as it says again by the book of Iyov, ein dover elov davor. None of his friends were saying anything to him. Uksiv, and then it says afterwards, in the next few psukim, achrechein posach Iyov espio. Then Eov opened his mouth, and he began, and then it says, Vayan Eliphaz, and his friend Eliphaz was one of the comforters, then he responded to what Eov said. Okay, so that's an important thing, that you have to realize that when you come to Shavas, when you go there, you don't say a word. You might feel uncomfortable, but it's the mourner who's supposed to set the tone for what he wants to talk about, and you don't initiate that. And then what about the end? The kaven shenia na barosho, and once the mourner kind of shakes his head a little bit, he's giving you a signal. Shuv ena menachmim reshoim leishev etzlo. The comforters are no longer of permission to sit next to him. Why? Shlo yatrichu yosem ridai. They should not trouble him more than is necessary. Because you have to remember, the mourner is not allowed to give greetings or salutations. And part of that is good night and goodbye is the same type of prohibited greeting as hello. Hello, goodbye. So if he wants the guests to leave, he just can't say, well, have a good night, you know. He just shakes his head like a student would shake his head before his Rebbe who's about to leave. So the same thing, he gives Moshe. Well, certainly a mourner could be blunt and say, could you please leave? That would not be a greeting. You know, have a good night. It would be a little bit abrupt. But or he could just say, I'm tired. Or he could even do better. I'm really tired and I'm going to take a nap. You'll have to pardon me. And that really, people, mourners really should do that. And people should get the message. Sometimes people overextend their welcomes. Anyway, Dalid. What about a person who died and has no relatives that are mourning for him? So do we just leave the house empty and nothing's to be had? Nope. 10 kosher Jews come, the Yoshmin Bimkomo, they stay in his place, meaning the place where he died. I mean, those days, most people died in their homes. You didn't have, in Rambam's day, you did not have hospitals. So where did you die? You died in your house. So that's what he means. But what it means, you know, in the place where he used to live, 10 people would come. Kol Shivas Yemei Avelus, during all those 7 days of Avelus. Now, not that they stood there the whole day, obviously, like an Ovel does the whole time, but they come in the morning, they come at night, when usually the congregation would normally come to comfort the mourners. Now, it's interesting, the Rambam nowhere here talks about the davening, which is interesting. He doesn't mention anything about the davening. But it would seem that the 10 are there and they're there for davening and, you know, that's provided that the person, there's a lot of logistics over here, but, there still should be some semblance. In other words, there should be showing that there are people mourning for this person. That's the main idea. Even if there's no one to mourn, you try. You can't always do that. In the world today, you know, if let's say a lone individual who's 85 years old dies in a retirement home. Well, it's going to be very hard to get 10 people to go to the retirement home, you know, for the morning and evening. And who does he know? It's a little bit of a bigger world and sometimes a more distant world. But there is this aspect. Ushara Am and other people besides the kosher Jews, Miskaps will also gather with them. If you couldn't establish 10 set fellows every day to go to that house, we'd gather up 10 people from the other groups, people who weren't there yesterday. It seemed to be a priority to have the same set 10 people going every day if you could, but if you can't, then you get different people. The Yoshim Koma, they sit in that place for part of the morning and part of the evening. Hey, Hakol Chayovim Lamo Bifnei Nosi. Now, in general, all people, when a Nosi, an exilarch, enters into a base medrash or into a room, everyone's supposed to get up for him under normal circumstances. Chutz me avo v'chayl, except for a mourner and a sick person, because it's difficult for them to stand. The sick person, he's just physically not capable, and the mourner because he's emotionally not capable. Ulochol omed b'fanav omer lo, and to all who stand before him, he says to him, shave. So when the Nasi comes in, he tells everybody after he comes in and they stand up, he tells everybody, sit. Now it's time to sit. And they sit. Chutz, but except if, for whatever reason, may avo v'chayla. If a avo v'chayla, who already were not meant to get up, but what if they do get up? The Nasi should not say, sit down. Why? Shimash, because that implies, yeshev be'avolo. You should sit in your mourning. That was the implication, because the Mor says that, in other words, you should wallow in your mourning. Yeshev b'chol yo, wallow in your sickness. You know, so that, you know, but rather, he should say that Hashem should bless you, that you shouldn't have to bother. You know, you make other types of comments, but not, and that's why as well, you know, let's say after Mariv, you want to give the words of comfort to the mourner, you don't tell the mourner, sit down. That's not a good omen. You don't say sit down, you kind of hint to them, just guide them. You know, you could say after the mourner takes a seat, we will give him the words of comfort as opposed to sit down, as it were. Now, we've said already before, a mourner cannot do any work during the days of Shiva. And really, it's not so simple if he can have other people, you know, work in his business either. Most often can't be done. But there's a kind of a work, so to speak, that is permitted. that you might have thought would not be permitted, the Rambam says is permitted, that's an aloch avav. Mechabdim umerabsim bevesa avol. You can sweep the floor in a mourner's house. And they also, which,
in the mourner can sweep the floor in his own house.
The mourner could if he needed to, but and other people as well. Umerabsim, and you sprinkle a little water. They had dirt floors that they want to settle the dust, so they'd sprinkle a little water on it. That's the way they would clean the floors. Bevesa avol in a mourner's house. Okay.
I thought we were talking about whether a mourner can go
there. Well, you know, it just says that one can. It's not saying who is. But I guess if it's dirty, the mourner could do
it
too.
That's not such a fetish if someone else can do it for the mourner.
Well, it's being done for him. We don't usually do work for the mourners.
Well, the house doesn't have to be dingy.
You might think it's a type of work that couldn't be done. So the Rambam's saying, no, the house can still be clean. That's what I'm saying. So the question is, who? Is it the oval or the ones who are doing it for them? Probably both. So you can wash the dishes, plates, cups, jugs, utslochios, small bottles. You can light candles. But you don't bring mugmor and besamim. Mugmor is a type of an incense that was usually done after benching. That you put some incense onto some coals and it makes a very pleasant aroma, or other types of besamim, because that's already a pleasure. Okay? So, you know, we don't have pleasure. A clean house is one thing. A hygienic house is one thing. Having the house smell with the most beautiful smells doesn't have to be such a wonderful smelling house, as long as it's not a foul smelling house. To that end, the commentaries mention, but if, God forbid, or let's say the dead body is still in the house, and the dead body is already giving off not such nice smells, then you could put those, quote-unquote, disinfectants, or those types of smells, because you're trying to take away a negative smell, as opposed to putting in a positive smell. And those, and we know that, for example, when you have certain good fragrances, that is a bracha bari mine besamim, but that's only if you have that fragrance for you to smell for your pleasure. If you're putting a fragrance to mask the smell of the dead, you don't make the bracha bari mine besamim. So that type of besamim would be allowed to put in a mourner's house. All right, let's do one more halacha. Ain molichin lebeisa avol hamachal shemavrim bo lo b'chlei chesav lo b'chlei sham. Now we're talking about people bringing food to the house of the avol. You definitely bring food, but what kind of utensils do you bring them in? So you don't bring them in silver utensils or utensils that are made out of a certain type. They're very specialized utensils that are made from a unique type of tree. It's made from the carvings of a tree. It probably was an expensive type of utensil, and similarly. But rather, we bring them in what kind of utensils? Elu b'klei nesarim, in wicker baskets, shel harava, that are made from harava's klufa, that are, what do you call, intertwined. Why do we do that? Not to embarrass those who don't have. Not all the friends who are bringing food have such fancy dinnerware. So we don't want to embarrass those people. And in a house, everyone's going to see what people are bringing. We have the by Bikurim. So by Bikurim, we don't have a choice. But here, and that's also done privately to the Kohen. But in a house over here, you know, there's a lot of people in the house, a lot of people looking. So we'd say everybody should give it the same way. And also, when you give drinks to them and you're bringing your own bottles, you don't bring clear bottles with the wine that you're going to give to him, but rather use a colored bottle. Why? They must have been very good connoisseurs of understanding better and less quality wines. Not to embarrass the poor people who are bringing wine, that their wines aren't so good. It would seem that if you would bring a wine in a bottle, if it was a clear bottle, a very cheap wine, you could see through the glass and see, that's a really cheap bottle, as opposed to a very expensive bottle. So the guy is bringing a cheap bottle of wine. So everyone has to bring colored bottles, so no one can see through the color, so therefore nobody is embarrassed. As maybe that's why we have those kinds of bottles. Okay. No, but it's other people. It's other people. A lot of people. There's 10 people in the house, right? And this guy's bringing the food. I was like, oh, let's see what kind of, oh, the cheap kind, eh? So he's just bringing the bottle. The mourner, okay, the mourner will know who gave him more, but the mourner I don't think is going to be in a position to want to embarrass people anyway. Okay. Okay, we continue now. We're in Halacha Ches. Now here was an interesting custom. They would give wine to the mourners to drink to alleviate their troubles. Good old-fashioned method.
That's a good
but there were limits as to how much you could give. You don't drink in a house of mourning more than 10 cups for each mourner. Don't drink more than 10. Shlosha kodem achila, 3 before the meal. Shlosha b'soich achila, 3 during the meal. Barba l'achar achila, and 4 after the meal. And that's it, man. V'lo Yosef. And don't add on to that. Peshema yishtaker. Maybe he'll get drunk after that.
Maybe.
Now, it's all based, if you remember, in the Gemara in Ksuvas,
yes,
it says that they'd start drinking and they would get drunk, and therefore the Gemara said we had to minimize it. We bring it back to the old way, not more than 10 cups.
Yeah, that's a 10.
It's interesting, though, where Rashi brings down the drink of the 10 cups, it was mainly they were giving it to the mourner,
right.
Not for the others. It was mainly for the mourner, and it could be that perhaps they maybe were drinking with him so the mourner doesn't drink alone. Okay, now the Ramban which is brought in the Kesef Mishnah, says that they wouldn't drink it before, during, and after, but all during the meal. Because when you drink wine, as we know, during a meal, it doesn't have the same ability to intoxicate as at other times in the meal. And when the Rambam, he's really just writing, you know, in terms of, you know, what the maximum is. We have to avoid doing all, to having too much.
But we know that it also.
But certainly the Rambam already said before, in Perek Dalet, he already said you could drink some wine during the meal so you could, the food can digest well.
Also, it's an appetizer. Wine can give you, because most mourners don't really have a big appetite.
Right.
Food's going to drown it.
Well, I guess they knew how to hold their liquor better than we did.
Do my fourth.
And are the comforters eating with the mourner?
It seems some comforters they would drink with him, because nobody likes to drink alone.
Right, because he's drinking while during the meal.
I don't know. Halacha tes.
In
the mourner house, there are certain restrictions in learning. Ain omrim shmua v'hagoda b'beisa ovel. We don't say dvar halachas in a house of a mourner. We don't say words of agadata, you know, the non-halachic words of Torah, because that draws the heart. And if you draw the heart, you'll get involved in understanding the logic and the halacha, and you'll start getting involved intellectually, and that will distract you from the mourning. And certainly, mundane words, without a doubt, one shouldn't do, because one is supposed to be focused on the mourning that is going on over there.
How do we understand the Devar Torah between Milch and Mark?
What?
How do we understand the Devar Torah?
That's for everybody else.
It's not for the mourning.
He's got to go.
It's you want to say a rabbi's Kaddish and this and that. It's really you're learning with the other people.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to say a Kaddish.
You want to say
a Kaddish, which honors that you're learning in honor of the deceased. Right. And the mourner, it's not, first of all, it's not such a long, it's 10 minutes. You're not talking about, you know, getting involved in a halachic, complex halachic issue over here. And usually, whenever I'm speaking, it always has to do with mourning, and it's always on how you should comport yourself in a mourner's house, and how we elevate the soul of the mourner. So it's all words that are really very spot on to the mourning anyway, at least what I do. All right, now, so we can't learn Ela Yoshvim Dovim, but rather they sit in pain and in suffering. In other words, you're miserable in terms of thinking about the death. V'chein omrim b'fnei ha'meis el advarim shel meis. And also before, when the dead body is still around and you're saying a hesped, when you say hespedim, you only say in front of the dead body either words of hespedim or plans to bury the person. In those days, again, the mace was in the house. So you wouldn't learn in front of the mace, but anything that has to do with dealing with the dead person, funeral arrangements, this and that, that could be done in front of the dead person.
What about your tzitzit? If your dead person was in the house, would you have to tuck them in?
It's interesting. They only mention a basic forest. Look at the next line. But to engage in Torah study in front of the dead body, or in a cemetery, that's not allowed. And because since everybody's chayiv to learn Torah, and this dead person is sitting around and doing nothing because he's dead, that's called loig larosh. It's like you're embarrassing the impoverished ones, yeah, that he's not able to do what's going on. And therefore,
that's the same reason.
But mundane words, that's not such a bad thing, because even a healthy person should try to avoid those times of things. But once, so this is all for kavod ha'meis, and certainly anything that would make the meis feel better, you could do that. And therefore they read certain psukim that have to do with the eulogy in honor of the meis. Those are things that they would do. Be interesting, if Taka, the dead person, was there, maybe you shouldn't put your tzitzis in, yeah, because you'd be showing up. You certainly don't eat right in front of the mace, no, and things like that. So maybe you would put your tzitzis
in. I'm wondering, by the way, if there's a distinction between the house and the cemetery, because in the house, it's in the merit of the deceased, the learning and whatever, as opposed,
yeah, but
to
after he's gone, other
but not in front of it's not in front
but
of the dead.
Dead. Dead is there.
In front of a dead person, you don't learn. It's in front of the dead person. He can't learn. You're embarrassing him.
Yeah, but all the learning we do, even like,
well, not in front of the dead person.
You don't learn in the cemetery.
I was just
thinking maybe that's because of other people who.
No, any dead person, you can't learn Torah in front of a dead person, because that is mocking the dead person. Yud. Ein boichin ala meis yoser yoser mishloshim. You don't cry. That's the most heavily intense form of mourning for more than 3 days for the dead. They must speed in yoser mishivim. We don't say words of eulogy more than 7 days for the dead. But mad form of mourning, when do we say this bisharam? That's with regular people. Avol tamidei chachamim. But if it's a great scholar, then hakol lefi chachmasim. The numbers of days will depend on how wise they were. And for example, vein bochin aleim, and the maximum you could cry from 3 for the average, not for the scholar, the biggest scholar in the world, the maximum is not more than yoser mishloshim yom, 30 days. And how do we know this? Shein lanu gadol Moshe Rabbeinu, is no one greater than Moshe. And what does the Torah say? Uksiv vayitmo yemei b'chievel Moshe. They finished the days of crying for Moshe, and there the pasuk says it was 30 days. And you don't say words of eulogies, yoser al shneimasar chodesh, more than 12 months. And lana b'chachma gadol marabeinu kadosh, there's no one smarter than Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Ushneimasar chodesh v'vad nispan. The Gemara says that the eulogies for him stopped after 12 months. And if we find out that a chacham died 12 months after the fact that he died, ain't sofna, so we don't give a eulogy for that because it's already past 12 months. Yudal, very important rule. Al yiskasha adam al meso yoser midai. A person should not be hard on himself over a dead person more than is the sufficient amount. As it says in Jeremiah, al tivku lemeis, don't cry for the dead, val tonudulo, and don't eulogize him. Obviously, it can't mean don't cry and eulogize, but what does it mean? It has to mean, we're talking about the prophet Yirmiyo, klomer yoser midai, not too much, don't overdo it. Shezel min hagashom, because this is the way of the world. Everybody dies. Now, certainly we don't take it nonchalantly, and therefore we do cry for 3 days. We eulogize for 7 days. We take it seriously. But if you're going to do more than the numbers that the rabbis prescribed, you're going to make it look like this was an unusual event. It doesn't ever happen before. It never happened to the whole world. They don't ever die. Anyone who inflicts pain upon himself suffers more than what the customary amount is. He's a fool. But what should he do? This is the standard amounts. Shlosha lebechi, 3 days for crying. Shiva lehesped, 7 days for eulogizing. Shloshim yom letisparos hashar chamish advarim, 30 days for the extended form of mourning of no haircuts, and the other 5 things that mourners are not allowed to, that we all learned in the 6th chapter. And after that point, except for a child for a parent, where it's not even for mourning per se, it's more for kibud of aim the year. But aside from that, and if people do longer than that amount, it's like you're saying, Hashem says, it turns out you guys think you're more merciful than me. I've told you how much to mourn for the person. You want to mourn more than that? So it comes that you're more merciful than me? It does. That's a very foolish thing for a person to do. Yud Beis. If somebody does not mourn the way the Chachamim said a person should mourn, Hareza achzori. That is considered a cruel person because he doesn't have any feelings. He doesn't take part together with the pains of his friends and his relatives. And if a person does, but rather, what should be your comportment if you're a friend or a close relative of someone who dies? Ela yifchad v'yidag. Person should be afraid. He should be scared. V'yafashbeish b'maisav. He should introspect on his ways. V'yachsu v'tshuva and think of ways of doing tshuva. Okay, and that's based on a. Again, a pasuk that says, you know, you start from the top down. Everyone's got to be worried about this. And another famous Gemara says, if anybody from a group of friends or a chevra dies, yidag kol hachabura kula. Everyone in the group should be afraid. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, which should be afraid of. They should be afraid they may die too. Because it could be symptomatic of maybe a certain sin that that group shares. As obviously was evident in this time of year, the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva.
There was something catchy.
There was something going on. But you have a chevra of, you know, 10 best friends always got together and somebody dies. Everybody should be concerned and do tshuva. Now, kol shlosh, and how should these friends and relatives, especially the relatives we're seeing mourning, this is a deep level already. But kol shlosh and rishonim, the first 3 days, how should the mourner comport himself and the close friends? Yiras asvaki l'cherv munachas al tzavar. You should feel as if there's a sword right over his neck. And therefore you shouldn't be too haughty with picking your head up too high. Umishlosh v'achivim, from the 3rd day to the 7th day, kiyu munachas b'ker and tzavis, like the swords in the corner. It's a little bit removed, but it's still in the room. Mikan va'elach, and after 7 days, for the rest of the 30 days, kilu alveres kenever shuga. It's like the sword is passing before him in the marketplace. A little less, but still the whole idea is that he is under a certain judgment. And the Yushalmi says for a fact that the whole year for the family, there's a certain judgment going on. And as time passes, the sword, so to speak, it's a little bit more distant. It's more distant. They give a mushal to a pile of stones. If you take one stone out, you could have a whole, what do you call it?
An avalanche.
So one has got it, got hit. Who knows if others aren't going to get hit? So a person should be focused on doing tshuva. Because, okay. Kol zeh lohachinas v'yachas is all to prepare a person to do tshuva v'yei or mishna, so he should arouse himself from his sleep. For Omer, and the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu again, he kisa osam v'lochalu. He hit them and he didn't tremble, and that was a complaint. Michlau, we see from that shetzarch lahachitz v'lochol, that a person should wake up and a person should tremble. We did a chapter in one.